3, 2, 1. Hello, welcome to another edition of Zero Intelligence, the Zero Gravity Gaming Platinum League podcast. I'm your usual host, introducing, and with me is Active Rush's Rutledge's Beast, my co-host. How are you doing today, Rutledge?
Doing good. Just any other Sunday, pretty much.
Yep. The rare Sunday afternoon recording. So we will we'll see how that goes. And first off, I think it's important to recount the series that we had this past week, this past Monday and Tuesday. Monday was TPR versus Active Rush. There was a lot of build up, a lot of hype. The TPR guys definitely
we're coming in pretty confident.
Came in pretty confident with the banter. It was honestly a lot of fun. Definitely put some extra stakes on the match as well, with the one person saying he would shave his head if they lost. And walk me through that series from your perspective. How did it go? Because that was the series I didn't get to see all of.
This continued my streak of predictions being exactly correct to the game. And we'll talk about the next series where I was not right, but basically from my perspective, it kind of went down as I expected. I think we figured it, like, I think they had a hard time when he didn't want to pick Shaco because we actually knew how to play into Shaco, and Shaco's a champion that unless the enemy team misplays, you can generally answer into, which is why I don't see Shaco in like 5v5 games and like pro play and stuff, because if you play correctly, he shouldn't really be that effective. But he's great in solo queue, and he's a strong individual champ, which they brought out in their series that they played against I can't remember who they played in the quarter. Oh, Crosspoint, right? Or no, Imperial. They played Imperial, and they brought it out a couple times, and he had good games on it, but they weren't willing to bring it out in the first game where we left it unbanned. We ended up banning it, I think, game two, just because we wanted to force him back onto the kind of champion he played in game one, which was tanks. And we just had the Trundle pick into it, and they just couldn't really go with their typical tank team, which I think really affected them. Because, like, I mean, even in their Gauntlet game where they had four tanks basically in a vein, they were definitely way more comfortable on tanks. Their biggest weakness, however, was it ended up being Sigma. Sigma was pretty easy, especially in game one, to exploit. He fell pretty far behind on Ryze. We did play like a scaling comp, and I know, like, I heard the casters talking about it in game one. We were playing like Vigor, Ezreal, Yumi. I think we had a Trundle jungle, and then I'm not even sure what we had in the top lane, but it was basically entirely a scale team. So we were just looking to, or it was like Ornn top, and we were just looking to scale the game out, right? And so it started out a little closer, but it was mostly just because we were waiting for item spikes, and our champions should, and for the most part, outscale theirs and out team fight theirs at a certain point. So we did that game one, just kind of have like be able to kind of casually go into the series, to kind of get our footing. But then game two, we decided to get a more traditional comp that we like to draft with a little bit more early game tools, and that game just kind of turned out to be a stomp. But yeah, it was a fun build up series. Like the banter, like you said, we're talking about. I think both sides were good sports about it, so there wasn't too much toxicity, I don't think, involved. But both teams had a good time, or at least we had a good time before the series, and then I was a little disappointed. I expected them to put up a little bit more of a fight than they did.
Yeah, I was actually, I mean, they were talking so confidently, they had me convinced that they were going to at least take a game, which is why I predicted the way that I did. But yeah, in the end, 3-0, Active Rush moves to finals for the second season in a row. Move to the Tuesday matchup, the collapse of the League of Dolphins. Dropping 0-3 to DOV. I casted games 2 and 3 of this one, and saw most of game 1. I want to get your... Did you watch the whole series, or...?
I watched the majority. I think I watched the full first two games and, like, parts of, like, the third game.
Okay. Because, just some backstory. Without getting into it too deep, but basically it was not the happiest team in the world. I've always said winning solves a lot of problems.
For sure.
And when the wins stop coming, people can panic a little bit. And it was just a lot of communication breakdowns, a lot of tilt. And DOV played really well. I thought they played a lot better than they looked against Crosspoint. Blue Shift was able to keep pace with Zinni in the jungle. They actually matched us fighting around bot lane a lot, with multiple times where we would do our usual thing where we take the mid prio and go bot, and I think one game they even had the Galio, and they would just match us with it, and again, just drafting good comps. We had a lot of communication issues, led to a lot of it, and we saw multiple times in game one, our carries getting picked off, whether it be in a side lane or even just around the mid lane, just pushing up a little too far as an objective was spawning. So it kind of sucked to watch, because it felt like a lot of shooting ourselves in the foot. Like in games one and three, we had favorable game states at different times. Game two was kind of a wash, but like favorable game states. And if we had played better, if we had played more like we did during the regular season, I think we would have been able to pull it out. But
Do you think, I have a question for you.
okay.
Do you think that subbing in Zinni, because my perspective of the series, right, for looking from the outside in, I expected Zinni to really, really dominate Blue Shift. And I still think that as far as like player individual skill level goes, Zinni is better. But it just didn't look like there was, and I think you're talking to it a lot of. I'm getting the vibe is like it might have been the more the communication and like the team, like because the jungle does depend a lot on communication, the team kind of playing with the jungle. It just didn't look like that they were ever on the same page, and I think the biggest strength you guys had come into the series was Zinni should have been, I think, superior to Blue Shift by probably the biggest margin out of everybody on the roster, and it just didn't turn out that way. And honestly, like Zinni really didn't have a good game the entire series, and it might have just been that communication. Like, do you think having Zinni in for more of the regular season because you guys, I know how you guys subbed him out like for like the last few weeks. Do you think that it played a factor at all, or do you think it was just like a bad couple or a few games?
No, that's actually a big part of it. So after, because Zinni was starting, I think when we, I think Zinni was starting when we 2-0'd DOV in the last week, and
Okay.
Zinni was originally the coach of the team, and was qualified for ZGG because of having hit Diamond in preseason, with preseason ranks not counting. So the main issue, I'll be straightforward. One of our players was muted for the first two games of the series, which is why I say there was a communication breakdown, because there just physically was no communication.
The first two games, so not even like tilting after game one, just
Just,
muted game one.
yeah, and said that there was IRL stuff going on in the house that just could not get on comms. So Zinni ended up not only stepping in to a as a sub, because he played well with the team, we thought, in previous weeks and in previous scrims, but when he had to become the primary shot caller was when things got a little disjointed, because there was a lot of times when he would call for certain things, and the only player following his call was our support, Doggaroo or Gecko. Which is why, especially on the Thresh game, it kind of looked a little empty, because it was just two people making calls and then two players kind of doing their own thing, and one player just being completely, like, almost not even playing the same game. Zinni said that basically he was having to do all of the calling, and that was corroborated by other members of the team. So it was just, I think you're right. I think if we had started Zinni the whole way, probably would have been better. The other issue was this roster. Like I said, once we lost our jungler, and after talking to everyone on the team individually and kind of trying to do my usual job as the team dad, came to the conclusion that this roster would not be able to stay together for another split, which is why we made the changes for ARL that we did. And I'm happy to say that all of those players are still in-house, some way, shape, or form. So it wasn't an org issue, it was just personalities and play styles. But yeah, it just, the team just basically imploded like the day before the playoff series, and we had one player muted. Our shot caller had not played with the team all season, and it was just a disjointed mess.
Yeah, I think that really showed through, because that was like what the biggest vibe I was getting, because when we played you guys, I mean, we did have a sub ADC, so we didn't have our full roster either. But it definitely felt like you guys had communication, and it was like you guys were answering a lot of things we like to do, which is like, I think generally we outplay people by playing as a team better than most teams do in the league. So to see it not come to fruition in that series, I think you could just tell there was like something was off. And some of those, and putting on all those different hats for Zinni, I think definitely affected his play negatively. Or just being kind of thrown into that situation. I mean, again, jungles kind of get hurt by the rest of their team if their team isn't playing at the best or communicating well. So it just definitely showed. And that's where I was expecting you guys to win through. And it just, Blue Shift managed to hang on and didn't lose in the jungle. And their bot lane play well. And yeah, I mean, that was the biggest surprise. And I think that was why I predicted the series to go the way it did. And then with it going basically the exact opposite of that, that's, I mean, we saw how that ended up working out for League of Dolphins.
Yeah. Like I said, I feel like games 1 and 3, we had definite sure. points in the game we could have won from, but just...
For sure.
So, I mean, in a way, it's probably better this way. I mean, I think DOV will be a better team in the finals than we would have been in that state. Yeah. For obvious reasons.
So. And like you said, DOV did look good. Like, I will say, I don't disagree with you that I think they played better than they did against Crosspoint. But yeah, it was kind of a mixture, I think, of LOD underperforming and DOV overperforming. So it was a very good series played by them. Their bot lane's been very impressive in the playoffs, and Yuki showed up a bit more this week, and their jungle and top side of the map didn't really do anything negatively to hurt the rest of their team. So that was good to see.
Yeah, so let me pull up the document, because our next thing to talk about is going to be the aforementioned Grand Finals between DOV Esports Thunder and Active Rush, with Active Rush having side selection games 1, 3, and 5 as being the higher seed. And I want to go through this matchup by matchup if we look at the two teams. So their roster has changed around a little bit for playoffs, at least what they've been starting. Mm-hmm. So it has been largely, it has been Badger ADC, Yuki mid, Blue Shift jungle, Office top, and their support, I think they've been using different people at different times. I want to say on Monday it was Kikabun, because I don't think Mango played.
Mm-hmm.
But so just going off the projected lineup with Office, Blue Shift, Yuki, Badger, and we'll say Kikabun, just because that's as far as we know. That's who it's been. Let's take it with the top lane. Krobo Logic against Office. What are your thoughts on that?
I think Office is I'm trying to figure out the best way to say it. Like, because I don't think he's like a super abusable part of their team, but I don't think he's the strength of DOV either. I'm watching him more and more. My expectations of him have kind of reset a little bit, because I actually expected a little bit more of him as like the beginning of the season was. But I think Krobo has the advantage, especially with how he's been playing lately. He's been doing much, much better into pretty solid top laners, because we actually are in Upsurge as well, and we are now in semifinals of that league. And he's performed really well recently. Now, regular season Krobo, I would probably be more like neutral, but the current form that Krobo is in, I think we have the advantage as far in the top lane. But their pools are pretty similar, I think, so I don't think it's like a massive gap, but I do think there should be a slight advantage in the top lane, in fact.
Yeah, I feel like from Office, I have seen... Against us, it was actually interesting, because I think one of the games he did play the Volibear top as a answer to the Ornn. And while it didn't exactly work, I was happy to see Office play something different, because I feel like you said he's just a very stable top laner. He's kind of your prototypical, like, doesn't win, doesn't lose kind of top laner. Mm-hmm. So maybe he has more to show that we just haven't seen yet. But again, I think he's a respectable player in his own right. Always seems well practiced on the meta stuff, and I think Krobo has been Krobo's definitely stepped it up. Like I said, I felt like that was the one area we kind of exploited when we beat you guys in the regular season. And I think all in all, I want to say again, slight advantage to Active Rush, but I don't think that matchup is going to be where the game's decided, if I had to take a gander at it. So moving down into the jungle, we have Bladed Thesis versus Blue Shift. Speaking of where the match could be decided, again, I thought Blue Shift did pretty well into Vizini. My main thing I actually noticed about that matchup specifically was just the fact that it seemed like he was actually reacting very intelligently to what Zinni was doing. I don't know if those were his calls or if that was other people making those calls. Just because we don't hear their comms. But my personal opinion of playing against Bladed Thesis is that he is not the sort of jungler that you can react to and expect to beat. I feel like you have to be proactive against him and cross map, and I have not yet seen Blue Shift do that. What do you think?
That's a pretty good analysis, I would say, of Bladed. He's definitely, depending on the champions I pick him and like what our comp is trying to do, because he actually used to he's actually improved even over time as he's played with me in Active Rush, because he's gotten to the point, because like sometimes before when we would play those scaling comps or play comps that are not intended to help our jungler early skirmish and like be able to kind of deny and invade the other jungle, he would still try to do that and it would end up getting him killed, and those would be the games where he kind of like actually kind of died a lot, like kind of 1-8 kind of games or something of that nature. But since, again, more recently, I would say this whole season of GDG, honestly, he's been much better about not, like, trying to overdo it in the early game if he doesn't have the comp for it. But yeah, you're right. I mean, if he does have that, like, champion that he can be, like, Rek'Sai, at least, like, those early game skirmishers or divers or whatever you want to call them, he knows how to punish you early. And if you're trying to be reactive, you're not going to probably be there in time, because he usually understands how long he's got to make a play work. And if it happens to not work out, you're not going to punish him, because he's going to be getting out usually by the time you'd be reacting. And we're a bit more calculated than I would say most teams are. So like, we're not taking haphazard plays for the most part, especially in playoffs. But yes, you can't really be reactive and beat Bladed Thesis, to be the short answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say, I do want to add on, I do agree Blue Shift had a better series than I've seen, honestly, from the whole season from him for DOV. I did think it was just funny. I just wanted to add this little thing. I saw in game one, he did die to the Drake, and then the Nautilus just came over and smacked it to kill him.
That was kind of funny.
It worked out for him, but it was just funny to see him like die solo to the Drake, and the Nautilus just happened to come over and like smack. I'm sure they planned, like they said that, but like I don't think he planned on dying.
Yeah, I think he was playing Jarvan. Jarvan is
he was.
Yeah, not the best solo Drake champ. As seen there,
it was just goofy looking.
It was kind of. It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny to see that in a playoff game, and then the Nautilus just walks over and just a big old swing of the anchor. Kind of made me think of that one animation that had that had the Nautilus in it, where Nautilus was like five times the size of all the other champions.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why is Nautilus suddenly OP here? Like, this is not what normally happens.
I think, doesn't Graves just mess him up in that? Or no, does he mess up Graves?
Oh, he messes up Graves, Graves shoots him, like, several times and throws the ult, and, like, he's just unaffected.
No, he does actually pick up his ult canister thing, and he, like, smashes it against a rock, which then falls on a Nautilus from that animation. I remember now. But he does mess up Graves. Yeah. They kind of have to go down together.
Alright. So, mid lane, I think it's interesting, but I think it's also not that interesting, and I'll explain.
Okay.
I think you and Yuki play pretty similarly.
Sure.
I've seen you on a lot of the Vel'Koz this season. I feel like it's your comfort seems to be on like champions that definitely sit back a little bit and aren't as proactive in lane.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he pretty much does the exact same thing, so I think the mid lane will be... I think mid lane can be jungle difference, and I know you have some variety in your kit, like the Galio we've seen a lot, and see some practicing a interesting little pick in your solo queue that I won't disclose at this time, but so I know there's definitely some versatility, but even that, I think you tend to lean into a poke heavy style for competitive. So what are your thoughts? Because with Yuki, you're probably getting a Azir, Cassiopeia, or Corki, more than likely. And how do you feel you match up into that pool?
I'm not going to disclose certain picks that we may or may not want them to take. I can't do that because I would mess with my draft, I think, a little bit. But I can say that I do agree with you that he does play a similar style to me, which is generally I like to have like scaling champs that I can kind of like control mage fights with, and generally be safer. I do have some champs. You mentioned Galio, and there's a few others that I would throw in that I like can be more proactive in skirmishes and can be more proactive at like getting up at people's faces because they're so mobile. I've definitely played a decent amount of those actually this season because I have a couple in mind that I'm thinking of specifically. But again, not going to disclose, I'm not going to help them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
but we do play somewhat like, I think he pretty much always wants to play, I think, a farming style and just kind of look to team, group up with his team and then get kills once he has items. I think that's just his, like, I haven't really seen him play any differently. I know he plays some of the Galio, but even that, he plays kind of more passive in the lane, more so than, like, I think I would. I do agree with you, it could be we're both farming and just going to both look to help our team skirmish and play around our junglers and stuff, instead of like 1v1ing a lot in the mid lane. But it kind of might just depend on how those matchups get broken down. Like, I know he's willing to trade and stuff, but it definitely does seem, even against like Slash, he didn't really have any, like, they both were just kind of farming. Neither one of them like forced fights. So I do agree it's probably going to be mostly neutralized lanes that are just going to be looking to help their team, but it just might depend on if I do pull out some special that I haven't shown as much bunch of. But I think we have enough advantages like in the top side of the map where I don't necessarily think I need to pick up a big advantage in my solo lane.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think like I said, I think this is not the matchup where this is not one of the matchups where the game will swing more than likely. I think it'll be stable, and then we'll have to see who outperforms who in the team fights.
Yeah, it definitely could swing the game as far as like our performances in the team fights, because we definitely still will be probably the highest or second highest damage dealers on our team every game.
Yeah,
but it's not, the lane probably won't decide the series.
Yeah, so that's more what I mean. Like, it's not going to be like dictated in lane. It'll be what happens after lane. So our final matchups to consider is the bot lane. Again, taking stock of, actually, let me go ahead and just double check which bot laner they played, because we don't have match history, but I do have stream VODs. And while I do that,
we definitely know it was Badger for sure.
It was
Badger.
I don't
know how long Badger's been playing for them.
He's been playing bot lane for at least the two playoff series.
I know for sure that. Did you remember if he played against you guys in the regular season?
I don't think he did. Okay, so it was Badger and it was Ayubar. Okay, interesting. So that's actually another sub on their roster. Ayube. Let's see if he's in the updated multi-OP. Because he's a player I actually didn't really know anything about. And he actually doesn't even look to be a support main by the looks of things, but does play enough bot lane to probably be proficient. So I thought their 2v2 was actually pretty good. I obviously, Doggeru and Namid are not known for being like a really strong beat your head in 2v2, but I think even against CPO they had some really good performances. I mean, Badger had that like 16-3 Kai'Sa game that was pretty insane. So I'm actually really curious how that matchup is going to go, because I feel like that specific bot lane duo has been better than anticipated.
For sure, I would say so as well.
I think coming into it, if you said it was Sports Soccer 3 and Mango Crow, I think you'd be like less impressed, but just based on these player changes and based on these performances, I think this is actually going to be really close, because Hindsight and VT Nelson are good, but my own personal take on it, I don't know how good they are. I don't know if it's like top tier bot lane that can actually like and just pressure a 2v2 lane, get a CS lead, and then translate that into like everything else on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Or if Badger and Ayubeo actually be able to go toe-to-toe with them, maybe even push back a little bit, and then it'll turn into more of just a matter of bot lane diff becoming the rest of the map difference, you know what I mean? Because Lord knows yeah. ADCs love getting five-man to bot lane.
Oh, I mean, it's always a party in the bot lane, it seems. Yeah, I mean, I think watching Badger play in particular, I mean, did the support change at all from week to week in the playoffs, or was it the same support games?
I'm pretty sure it was the same one. I think that is the same name that I remember seeing from the week before.
Yeah, I mean, they've looked in good form. They've played about as well as I think you could ask for, especially in the Thalia Dolphin series. They did some really like surprisingly impressive things. Now, it was a bit of a slugfest, and they kind of definitely died a few times and they should have been punished, honestly, more. I think that's where League of Dolphins fell, because like, you guys had some plays made bot, but like the punishes weren't on that like same communication, that good timing, that stuff we talked about, that kind of the disconnection. I think that definitely affected those kind of ganks and plays in the bot lane, because I think you guys had set them up for punishes that they didn't quite get punished for. Like, there was a few times where they walked away with like 100 HP, especially like in game 1 and 2. Like, I remember there was some just like, it was just ganks after ganks, but then like they would just barely survive because of maybe a bad path was taken or a CC ability was missed or whatever. But so yeah, I mean, I think they've been playing, especially like Badger, especially late game team fights and stuff, has been playing great in fights and has hard carried a few of DOV's games. There's some games where he's not done anything too crazy. So it seems like he kind of pops off here and there, maybe not super consistent, which is kind of what I would say about Hindsight and Nelson. Hindsight has games where NZG where he's gone 14-1. Then he's had games where he's kind of just died a bunch and kind of maybe like 4-5 or something like that, like just not been super effective. So it's going to be interesting to see if Hindsight and Nelson show up. I think they'll be able to be on par with them. I think it's going to be a pretty interesting bot lane. I really have no idea how it's going to work out, because I think Badger and the support have looked great these first two playoff series, but I just don't know at the level of which their opponents have played. Because Hindsight and Nelson have really never had trouble with any particular bot lane in this league. So I don't really know what the difference of their skill level is going to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think, like you said, it's not like they've ever like outright lost hard at any point in like recent memory. But there's just been those games where it's just, you look at the post game, it's like, oh yeah, that game was won because of something else.
Yeah, for sure. And when you're on a team that has win conditions in other lanes and stuff, it doesn't, like, some games I'm picking them to not be the win conditions. So like, they're not gonna, in the game, the match history screen, they might not look like they did a whole lot, but they did their role of whatever that comp was supposed to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So again, I think that's the one where I'm actually having the hardest time calling it, just because of a smaller sample size from the DOV bot lane and the fact that sample size, they have looked pretty good. So at this point, I'm willing to say top advantage, active rush, jungle advantage, active rush. I think mid lane and bot lane are kind of a wash to me. Okay. So we'll just have to see what shows up in on game day. I do remember even Slash, after playing against both you and Yuki, I remember even said you guys were pretty similar, so
yeah, sure.
So final series predictions, I'm gonna go 3-1 active rush. What say you?
Probably 3-1 active rush. I have a bit more, because like you said about the whole, really the bot lane I think is the biggest X factor. Like, it could go one way, one team could be a lot better, one team it could be even. I have no idea. I can't really call that bot lane at all. So I definitely see them could definitely take a game, or even make it a best of, or make it a full 5-game series on us.
Yeah, so hopefully we get a close series, and we should have it broadcast. I mean, we will have it broadcast one way or another through Zero Gravity Gaming. That'll be Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern start time. It'll be Active Rush versus DOV Esports Thunder in the 5th season of Zero Gravity Games Platinum League Grand Finals. So we look forward to that. Hopefully this gave you guys an idea of what to watch for, hyped up the match a little bit. And for myself, for Rutledge, any closing comments, statements, or otherwise?
No, it's just been fun doing the podcast again. I don't know if we'll do one to wrap up the season on a bow or whatever, but I hope people enjoyed it, and hopefully we'll do it next season as well.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. All right. Have a good day, everybody. Thanks for listening.